Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey folks, Josh Luke, co-host of the Dugout Dudes, formerly the Dodger Dudes, here with my buddy Brett Tomko. We are both quarantining. Brett, how is the quarantine going in San Diego County, man?
It's interesting. It's been an interesting few weeks, and I'm sure for everyone, it's an interesting time here in the world, not just the U.S. But you know, quarantine's been it's had its great things. It's had its challenges. I mean, I have two small kids that are 10 years old. And they are full of energy and not really on board with homeschooling yet. We're just getting into that. But you know, it's trying to keep the family safe, trying to, you know what is factual, what's not factual. It's so hard. I'll be interested to get your take on stuff, you know, with your background with the hospitals and running a hospital, but you know, there's a lot of information out there and you watch the news as a parent and you're concerned with what's going on and how this is going to affect you and your family and your kids and, you know, the hospitals and the nurses and the doctors who are, you know, doing the battle, you know, on the front line. So we can stay safe. You know, it's hard to know what's relevant stuff that you hear on the news and what's not. And it's, you know, I've looked to your Instagram, you know, here and there when you give your little updates, but that stuff helps, especially when it's coming from credible people that have been there and know how things work and try to ease your mind a little bit to say, hey, you know, as long as we're doing the right things and we're taking precautions that, you know, we're going to get through this because eventually we're going to get through this. We're seeing it in different countries that, you know, the curve is starting to go down and it's starting to flatten a little bit. People are getting a little bit back to normal, but you know, there's a lot of new terms out there and the new normal and social distancing and stuff that you've never heard. That's part of our fabric of vocabulary, especially right now. It's, you know, it's all a little overwhelming and scary, but we're staying safe. We're making limited trips out to the store and trying to be, you know, really, thoughtful.
Finding new pastimes with no baseball, man.
Yeah, I know. And that's, we've been very creative at our house. We've done outdoor movie night. We've done, you know, all sorts of stuff, lots of walks, you know, with the dog. The dogs are the ones that are making out. The dogs probably think this is the best time ever. They got their owners home.
Dog doesn't want to walk anymore. She's back
there. They're like, listen, you've taken us for too many walks. I'm good. You just stay home. But how are you doing?
You know, I'm hanging in there. So guys, I'll just give you kind of 2 minutes of, I was a hospital CEO. I'm well connected with hospitals, doctors, all the folks. I've been talking to folks at the county, state, and federal level about maybe stepping in to help. I've offered myself up. I ran acute hospitals, behavioral health hospitals, and nursing homes. And right now, that skill set actually is becoming more of a priority because the nursing homes, I don't know if you know this, but the nursing homes aren't going to take COVID patients because we were trained not to take anybody who's contagious because the other patients get sick. And so when you see what's going on in New York, and we're taping this the last day of March, so in New York's bad and about to get worse, and there's going to be other states that follow, but part of the hospital capacity issue is that they can't discharge patients that are probably getting better and need to go to a nursing home. They're having to wait till they get all the way better and then go home. So anyway, I've been having those conversations, but here's what you need to know. What Brett referred to is I was doing, and I'll still do a few more on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook. I was really doing it for moms and dads, like Brett and I and our wives to say, guys, here's what I want to know, what I'm being asked by people who are emailing me initially about testing. Look, they're not testing you unless that you pretty much know you have it already because they don't have enough tests. But here's what you need to know. Stay home. Spend time with your family. Make a positive out of a negative. The worst of this in California is going to be behind us by April 20th if everybody does what they're supposed to. And unfortunately, folks that adhered started doing this, gosh, I think it's been almost 2.5 weeks now, right? But so it was literally like the Ides of March, I want to say, March 15th when we started doing this, but then the weekend came and it was sunny and people went to the beach and played basketball. And it was like, we started over every day was a new reason to start over. So when Trump originally threw out April 13th, that played their card of this should have been over about then if everybody did what they were supposed to do. But remember, and I was just out in Arizona because I had to go out there because we have a place out there. We had to shut it up. But they just started their lockdown yesterday. So it's like wow. March 30th. They're 15 days behind. And what I tell people in Utah and other places that text me is, guys, be thankful. It's not an overreaction. In California, was it too late? You could argue that, but no, it was right on time or a little late. Everywhere else, be thankful that you're ahead of it, because in Washington, it was way too late. In New York's just a different society. It's hard to say that they did things too late. I mean, everybody's on top of each other there. But guys, if we all quarantine, we all do what we're supposed to do, by April 20th or so, you're going to see, here's the indicator you're looking for. Fewer new cases today, new cases, not deaths, fewer new cases, positive tests, than the day prior for two or three consecutive days. That's what has signaled the improvement in other countries. We should have that around here by April 20th or 25th. Remember this one other thing, Brett, deaths are going to continue to increase when the new cases decrease, because the people that are comorbid and sick are going to keep getting sick for a couple more weeks. So guys, we didn't come on this show to talk about that. We came to talk baseball. We're going to get to that here in a second, but that's just what I can tell you. Follow the rules. It's not an overreaction. And please, please, please don't make it political. We're all in this together. There's people out there risking their lives for us. So to make it political is really demeaning them, whether it's a doctor, a nurse, or even the guy at the grocery store. So let's bond together. Let's let it make us stronger. Let's find positives too. Hey guys, I got a senior in high school, a junior in high school, and a college freshman. This is like 2, 3, or 4 weeks that I'll never get back to spend time with them that I might not have had, because they're growing up. So I'm trying to make it a positive. I encourage you to do the same. But Brett, let's talk some baseball, brother. First of all, one of the things you can do while you're quarantining, we actually have sponsors on our show now. And so I'm going to read to you the first one, because it's something I've been playing a little poker with my buddies online. But our first sponsor on this show is actually, if you want to do some betting, one of my brothers is a bettor. And I was joking with him a few weeks ago. I guess you can bet on like horse racing in Sweden or something like that.
There's a few actually, other things you can bet on, though, that I didn't know about.
There's plenty to bet on. And so while you're waiting this out at home with us, you can still have all kinds of fun and fun with betting at betonline.ag. That's A as in Apple, G as in George, with an exclamation point after that. So with no NBA, NHL, or MLB, you might think there's nothing to bet on, but BetOnline still has hundreds of places to wager, including their online casino with poker and blackjack. So like I said, my buddies are big poker players, and they're setting up games saying, let's do it at 8:30 tonight. Try it at betonline.ag. Sports aren't totally done. There's still mixed martial arts, American Idol. I love them. I've been betting on American Idol for real since it started. The elections, the spelling bee, and their $750 poker series. So there's still fun to be had. So go to betonline.ag and use the promo code MYPOD100. That's MYPOD, all caps, MYPOD100 to receive your welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that's betonline.ag and use the promo code MYPOD100. Bet online, the fun never ends. So there's our first promo. But Brett, people are
so
more
wait,
concerned.
So wait, you bet on American Idol?
I bet with my buddy's kids that I used to pick up from school in elementary school, and I picked it right the first 2 years. So the bets were, I get to pick one person in week three, and they get the field, and I won like 5 out of 6 years. Oh, the year I lost, I think I picked the big African American dude, and he lost to Clay, I think.
Yeah, I forgot that guy's name.
But I picked Carrie Underwood, which it wasn't a hard one. I didn't do it year one, Kelly Clarkson, but every year after that, I was picking the winner, and it was a lot of fun. We bet yogurt. So we bet
a good buddy of mine is David Cook, who was on American Idol. We met actually when he was on American Idol. They did the hometown visits, and I was playing for the Royals, and we had been watching the show, and our PR guy knew that. So he's like, hey, do you want to show – you know, Dave around the clubhouse and the field. And I'm like, sure. So we hung out. I was actually on American Idol. I caught the first pitch. So when they showed it on TV, cool. I caught the first pitch, and Dave and I have remained friends. We did a fantasy football together this last year. And yeah, he's doing little online concerts.
Good for him.
Online right now. So my wife even bought a virtual ticket to one on this Saturday, so our kids can watch him on, because our kids know him, and it's funny. So yeah.
Here's what I need you to do when the show is over, because you mentioned before that you knew him, and I'm surprised I didn't tell you this. I have his American Idol performance of Lionel Richie's "Hello" on my iPod, probably the only American Idol download I've ever done, because it was just an amazing jam. He just tore it up. I don't know if you remember that. But it's a short one. So can you text him and say, hey, I need you to send me and my buddy the full version of Lionel Richie's "Hello," because I have the actual American Idol download. So
he stayed at our house before a couple times. Maybe next time he comes down, we'll have a personal concert for him.
Tell him to send a text, man. I need that full version. It's only like one verse, bro. So let's talk Mookie Betts, the Dodgers' big free agent signee. Will he ever get to wear the Dodger blue in a game? Because you probably know more about it. I know you mentioned to me that you actually reached out to Tony Clark this week, but on something different. But will you ever see him play in a Dodger uniform? Because my understanding is the players brokered a deal that said if they don't play this season, the free agents are free agents.
Yeah, they're free agents. I was just reading something today about what's going on with baseball, and you know, they're being very diligent about what they're doing and how to approach this whole thing, because you know, like you said, the country's in an interesting spot. But I read some stuff, you know, they're talking about if the season starts up, they're kind of looking towards like the NBA, 81 games is kind of that threshold of you know, how many games are acceptable to have a full season. And there's talks about starting the season with no fans in the stadiums and playing more doubleheaders with less days off. It's very interesting what you know, the players union and the owners are talking about how they're really going to handle this that have to do with minor league systems, because there'll be no minor league games. So, you know, how do you have minor leaguers that are ready to go if people get hurt? Do you expand the rosters? There's a lot of things.
Yeah, I was thinking they have to expand the rosters.
Yeah, they're talking about going to like a 30 man roster. Yeah. Instead of the 25 or 26, which makes it interesting, because injuries happen and it's inevitable. And, you know, I've been on some teams where it was like a revolving door when people got hurt, and especially pitchers, when pitchers get hurt. Sure. And they got to go on the DL, especially with this time off that they're having right now. I've seen some interesting stuff on social media of guys taking T-work in their high rise apartments with nets in their living room and stuff like that. I saw Joey Gallo taking swings. That. There's a lot of variables and a lot of question marks with this all happens. And if we start seeing a decline where, you know, the country's going to start opening up little by little, it would be a crazy dynamic. We'll get into Mookie for a second, but it'd be a crazy dynamic to have games without fans. Interesting.
I think you can expect it. I think they're going to have to do a short spring training, get pitchers 3 starts, which is what, a 19-day spring training. And then go to doubleheaders in Florida and in Arizona for 2 or 3 weeks with no fans, just as kind of real games.
I think they're talking about, like real games in the stadiums with no fans, which I'll tell you, I played independent ball at the end of my career coming back from an injury. So listen, talk about no fans. We were in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And if you've ever been to Bridgeport in the stadium,
bigger than it's Bridgeport, California.
Oh, man. So listen, this is so me and a former player, Michael Wirtz, we had a great team. It was in York, Pennsylvania. We had like 14 or 15 former major leaguers on our team, Mark Tien, a bunch of different guys. So Mike Wirtz, we're sitting in the bullpen, and he used to pitch for Oakland. I think I want to say for the White Sox for a minute, but we're sitting there and we had a rain delay, and you know, in independent ball, you got to get the games in because you don't go back to cities for a long time. And so a rain delay is for a few hours, and they decide they're going to start the game, and there's no one there. They had shut the stadium down, and we had started a game at like 9 o'clock at night with no one in the stadium. So, you know, independent ball was a whole different beast. The baseball was different. So Wirtz and I in full uniform, you know, I wasn't pitching that day. He was in the bullpen. I had pitched a couple days before. In full uniform, we went up about 20 rows deep behind the bullpen and sat in the stands and watched the game as fans in full uniform. And it was bizarre because I don't know how to explain it. Like, I guess if you go to a high school game and there's not a lot of buzz and crowd noise, you know, players feed off that. They're,
they pipe in the sound like they do fake, the television
fake,
shows.
Man. Fake cheering when guys get hits and when there's a 3-2 count, that would be interesting. But it would be a weird dynamic to play games without anyone in a, you know, a stadium that holds 45, 47,000 people, because you know, there's adrenaline. There's guys that really get off on, you know, the crowd, home and away. So I don't know how they're going to do it, but I know they're really going to do it the right way, because everyone's got to be safe. All the people that are working with the teams and the players have to be safe. So, you know, in that respect, if they do start it up, then you'll see Mookie Betts in a uniform and be a Dodger. You know, it would be, I don't know, it would be an interesting thing if the, you know, if this ran longer and they decided not to play the season and we lost the whole season, what would Mookie Betts do? Would the Dodgers try to go back and re-sign him and you know, make him a Dodger once again? It would be, there's a lot of things that could happen.
So, Brett, are you hearing they're going to have a doubleheader every Saturday or something along those lines? And are you hearing no interleague, just mostly division and intra?
You know, I haven't heard that much. I just read a few articles about it, just kind of stating what the minor league system would look like, how many games they would try to shoot for to make it kind of a fair season. But
wait, hold on. Let me back up. They have to play interleague, or they have an off day, right? Because there's an odd amount of teams in the different leagues, is my
understanding. I mean, I'm sure there would be some type of interleague that would happen. I'm sure the schedulers and they would really have to, you know, throw whatever algorithm or computer program they have to try to make it as balanced as they can and fair for everyone. But, you know, the travel would be interesting because, you know, there's a lot of travel and doubleheaders and flying cross country to get to certain places. It'll be strange. And I'm sure the players will do whatever they are asked to do, because I know personally, some of the guys are just itching to get out there. They, you know, it's what's in our blood. It's what we're ready to do. And, you know, to have that taken away, you know, it's a tough thing. I'm sure guys are ready to go and they're itching to go, but
it's
going to
be a grind, right? Yeah. But I mean, how do you complain? Because you're getting an extra month and a half of, it's not vacation, but it's a new time. It's a different time.
Yeah, no. And it's going to be interesting if it fires up. And I think it's all going to depend on, and you know, there's a lot of, like I said, we've been saying there's a lot of variables, you know, what's going on in New York that, you know, that could linger on longer than what's happening in Texas or Chicago or where Cincinnati. So how, I'm assuming the whole country has to be on the downswing and looking like China and South Korea is now, where cases are, you know, are getting lower and lower and lower, and they're getting back to, you know, normal, what's, you know, relatively normal back in those countries. So I imagine the whole country has to be like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that. So let's talk about the minor leagues too. I mean, what are you hearing about minor leagues, if anything, in terms of what they're looking? I mean,
thing that I've heard is that the minor leaguers are going to get paid. Gosh, it's not a whole lot. It's like $400 a month through, I want to say May or June, just because, you know, in the minor leagues, is people think it's all glamorous, and you know, just because you're a professional baseball player, you're making a bunch of money, buckets of money is just raining on. But it's not like that. You're making below poverty level, you know, for the most part, especially the lower levels. So those guys, you know, just like the rest of the country, there's a lot of people that are out of work now, and there's a lot of people financially that are strapped and struggling. You know, the minor leaguers are the same way. They're in that same boat. So, you know, I think they're going to try to substitute a little bit money in there for them, but you know, it's not a whole lot. And, you know, I don't know how they're going to do it there. What I read, there wasn't a whole lot of, you know, there's not going to be games in the minor leagues. There's not going to be teams. So I don't know if guys are going to just have to stay ready on their own and have programs set up that if somebody got hurt and they got a call on a guy that he's in shape enough to come in and pitch. I don't know how that's going to work. I'm sure there's lots of talks behind closed doors between the players' union and the owners that are trying to figure out that if this does happen in a couple months, how are we going to really attack this to make it, you know, one, safe for everyone involved, you know, in terms of the virus and you know, it being contagious, and, you know, the well-being of these players that, you know, you don't want to put them in jeopardy where they're going to blow out their arms or blow something out and cost them, you know, time in their career.
Yeah, it's such a new day and age. I mean, at this point, I think, particularly because you're a father and a husband more so than a ball player, when you're at home 24/7 quarantining, you got bills to pay and things are different. And really, the thing that's on your mind is I got to get back to work and start making some money, even if it's at a, 20% pay cut or whatever it might be. So I think everybody, as you said, you're born to play and you want to go play. So, I think we're all anxious to see that. I'm with you. I think that if everything's working nationally, we might see the players start to roll back out into their spring training facilities. Well, I think a lot of them are still there, even though we heard there was a shutdown, but then we started hearing that a lot of them are still going out there. I'm thinking you're going to see that probably in early May and hopefully by mid-May. I'm not against it all, them playing for 2 weeks in empty stadiums just to get us through this thing, because we gotta play baseball and it's got to count for something. Me personally, I just can't get into so much the spring training games. And at this point, I think most of the players are ready. As you're privy to being a pitcher, I mean, the biggest concern is pitching and arms, and that's why you expand the rosters. I also think this is interesting, Brett. Let me ask you this. I thought of this when I was going, what would I do? I think that the statisticians should change the rule, and a 4-inning game counts as a win this season, or at least for 2 months, because if we're doing a short spring training, it's not fair to the pitchers who, I know you, dude, you're going to want to get that fifth inning. You're going to be selling it to your coach, and your coach is like, dude, your pitch count, we're only 3 weeks right in. Come on, you can't do that.
I don't know if they'll make that. I don't think that'll happen.
Do you know what's the history of that 5 innings? Has that been around forever? Is that,
when that actually became a rule, to be honest, but I don't see Major League Baseball changing that. You're going to involve, the players union and the commissioner in terms of, cause that's money. You're talking big salaries because, you get more wins that way. Which, if you go into free agency, you're going to get more money. There's a whole different,
So that means you just got to be on your game as a pitcher. You got to go out there. You got to keep right, your pitch count down.
You better be throwing some more sim games at home in your batting cage, hanging out. But, talk about hanging out. These guys, we got another sponsor we'll talk about real quick. Being in quarantine and being relaxed, I'm doing a lot more laundry than I'm used to, wearing a lot of stuff. But I'm super excited about a new sponsor. Style is changing. Formal wear is out and the t-shirts are in. True Classic Tees are my favorite. It's based in LA and it's a t-shirt company that is on the rise. These t-shirts are soft. They hold up in the wash. They're incredibly versatile. You wear them out. You can wear them to work out, which a lot of guys are doing right now. They're working out in their house or around the house, because it sounds like we're going to be doing that for a couple months. And these guys got to get ready. And the best part is they're incredibly cheap, only $15. And now you can get them for even less. If you go to trueclassictees.com and use the code at checkout, BLEAV, for 20% off. That's BLEAV at trueclassictees.com. And they'll hook you up. Go out there, get some new lounging gear for the quarantine, and hopefully get ready to watch some baseball on TV in a couple months.
I've been accused of being a t-shirt guy. I always have the cool new t-shirt. I'm sure you saw the new, I called it the new Astros uniform. It was my blue shirt with the Astro logo that said cheaters, that was very popular on my social media accounts a few months back. So
I'm lounging. I'm not afraid to say it. There might be a day that I don't change. I might wear the same outfit a couple of days in a row.
Check out those t-shirts. Hey, Brett, right. Talk about this, dude. So your brother, actually, people know that you listen to the show. Brett's brother and I are in a fantasy league together. We've been doing it since high school. Brett's brother wins it just about every year, Scott, but I'm usually right behind him in second or third. And so I always have a good time watching how Scott drafts. But this year we were all supposed to go to Vegas for our draft. We go during March Madness. And when, of course, we realized we couldn't go, we realized before we were told we couldn't, so we were being level-headed. But Scott threw out an idea to just do a slow draft online over time, and actually it was totally great for the first week of the quarantine, because we were all sitting at our computers, staring at our computers the whole time, right? And normally I would text Brett and say, hey, what do you think of these two guys? I'm like, well, no way, man. He's going to tell his brother the two guys.
I wouldn't do that.
But I learned a couple things, Brett, about the new rules that I think, let's talk about that for those guys who haven't done their draft. Jock Peterson was probably the highest rated guy on CBS Sportsline. He went in the final round of a 12-team 21 rounds. So, I mean, we're talking about like he's somewhere in the high 200s. We all know that he's, you know, can only hit against right-handers with all due respect. Still had 35 home runs. But here's what is of note. And so I want to ask you about this. With the new no more lefty only guys, loogies, I guess that's how you say it, right? Jock's going to get more at-bats is the common belief, because now if the other team brings in a right-hander, Jock's going up to bat in the next two batters. So the rule, I guess, is you can end the inning. If you end the inning, you can pitch to one batter, right, or two. But if you hit, let's say somebody brings in a pitcher, a right-hander, and there's only one out, no runners on, I'm sending Jock to the on-deck circle if it's, you know, anybody 6 through 9, right?
Right. I mean, he's going to get more bats. It's just the way it is. I don't personally like the rule. I think it's kind of, I don't know. I don't like it. I don't think it's not what baseball is. I don't think, you know, it's been like that forever. So I don't love the change. I see why they're making the change. They're trying to speed up the game a little bit.
Because of Dave, man. It's because of Doc.
Yeah. The matchups from the fourth inning. But that only comes down to like the last couple weeks in the playoffs. You know, during the regular season, you don't see that quite as much. So to make a whole rule change that's going to affect the whole season like that, I'm not a fan of it. I'll just say it. And I think it's kind of dumb. But it is what it is. It's gonna make managers really think how they use their players. And you know, there's some guys. I give Jesse Orozco, who's a San Diego guy that is local. He, you know, he pitched till he was like almost 50, maybe even more, because he was a one batter guy. You're taking guys, you know, kind of their livelihood and their numbers of what they can do, and changing kind of how the game is. And you know, I don't love it. But Jock, yeah, he's gonna, you know, but I don't know if that's a benefit for him or not, because you know he. If he does match up against stuff and they bring in a right-hander, the right-hander's in there. So he's got to face him if he's in the lineup. Unless
so let's
they pinch
talk about that too further, because I'm of the belief, and, you know, Brett and I have talked about this before. I'm a Dodger fan first. I like the Yankees too because my brother played in the minor league system. I got to know a lot of those guys during their heyday. But I'm an Angel fan because I live 15 minutes from there. I mean, it's been hard to be an Angel fan for the last 15 years, but – but here's the deal. That deal that they had for Jock and Stripling would have been a huge trade for the Angels. And the word locally is that Artie Moreno just got kind of irritated by always being second fiddle in the LA market. And so the longer that deal took, because they were waiting on Mookie Betts' deal to go through, he finally just canceled it. And man, they need that trade. And so it makes me think, I personally have felt like Jock's still not going to be a Dodger when the season opens. And we were getting pretty close to the season, so that might not have been true. But now that teams are going, hey, I can't really wait till the break anymore, because the break's going to be half a month into the season.
The break is in a few weeks.
Do you think we're going to see a series of moves right before the season for teams that were kind of waiting it out as a result?
It'd be interesting. I think Jocko was going to be a Dodger opening day. I think you're right. I think Moreno kind of got irritated and pissed that the Dodgers were – you know, it was lingering a little bit. I don't know how Jock fits in the lineup. That's the problem. You know, you have so much firepower. You have so much talent in the lineup and on the bench right now.
He changes it dramatically. I mean, he is the leadoff hitter, or no, he was, but now Mookie supposedly is. But he was a great leadoff hitter last year.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great left-handed hitter off the bench. But I think, you know, I think he's more than just a pinch hitter. You know, he's a platoon guy that's going to face right-handers if they're starting. But I don't know. I don't see a ton of moves being made right before the season. I know there's been a little activity, but I don't see a lot happening. I really don't.
So, you know, one guy who didn't get drafted at all in our fantasy draft this year, is, you want to guess which Dodger it was? It was a Dodger outfield. I mean, all the other Dodgers went early, but it's Jock's platoon mate. I mean, so that's what concerns me about if Jock's on the Dodgers, he should be starting, right?
I don't see how he can start. Where are you going to start him? I don't see.
Just like last year is the whole point. If he's if they're having a right-hander, he was the leadoff hitter and he was in the lineup every day. And I don't see it.
I don't see him starting quite as much as he did last year. That's why I think they were trying to deal him, because the Betts thing was on the horizon. They were going to get him, and there's just no room. I mean, they'll make room for him. I don't think he'll be, you know, as used as he was last year, because I just think, you know, I know Verdugo's gone and you know, that frees up a little bit of space, but they have, they're so deep on their bench.
AJ Pollock's the biggest wild card on the Dodgers this year. And truth be told, if AJ had a great year, look out, because he's the only hole in our lineup right now. Right?
Listen, I mean, if Peterson could scrap some hits against a right-hander, I would take him any day, here sure. instead of Pollock. You know, if he could figure out how to just hit, I don't know, 220 against right-handers or 210, I would throw him out there.
That's
because I
take against lefties.
I know, but he's hitting bomb. But okay, 190. If you get 190 off of a left-hander, I might throw him out there, because Pollock, and I like AJ. You know, I played with him in AAA in Reno, and he's a great dude. But I just feel like he didn't quite do what he should have done last year. You know, not to discount his season, but I think he's a better player than that. But you know, there's a lot of thunder in that lineup, and sometimes, you know, when you're not the guy, or some guys thrive on being a little bit more of the guy, and he's not that. He's not that guy in that lineup. You know, so you got the Bellingers and the Turners and all those guys.
Yeah, I was referring to AJ. Even Lux went early in our draft. Actually, you know who went lowest in our draft, which kind of surprised me, because we're all Southern Cal guys and most of us are Dodger fans in the league, is the Fresh Prince. I mean, he went a lot later, Will Smith, than I thought.
Yeah,
but his batting average is low.
No, I think what happened is – and you see this a lot with guys coming up from the minor leagues. It's either going to go one of two ways. Guys are going to just get overmatched and overpowered, and they're going to get sent back down to AAA, and they're going to scrap to get at-bats when they come back up. Or guys going to get hot right off the bat like he did. But then, you know, there's a reason why these pitchers are the best in the world. They're going to figure out holes. They're going to figure out – deficiencies in the hitter's swing, and they're going to exploit them. And I think that's what happened. And it happened a little bit quicker than sometimes a guy will go off a whole year, and then that sophomore year, that sophomore slump comes around, and guys, you know, they watch, there's a lot of videotape. There's a lot of information out there of, you know, weak spots, and they, you know, guys are good enough to hit those spots. And usually that second year is that decisive year, whether this guy's going to figure it out and he's going to be, you know, what type of level player. Is he going to be an A player or a B player or C player? And not that Smith isn't going to be, you know, a better player, but, you know, guys kind of figured him out towards the end, and he struggled.
And I think Barnsley's going to get some more time, especially because he went down last year and had some time to play every day and work on his swing. And he was a platoon with the year before when gosh, man, all the names are escaping me today. We really need to get back. Yasmani, when he and Yasmani, they split more time. It was more like a 30% thing. Hey,
and it comes down to what we talked about a lot at the end of the year. It's a great problem to have. You have so much talent. You have so much talent on the bench. How do you use them all? Well, that's a great problem, because you have some teams that, you know, the smaller, well, I'll use air quotes, you can't see me, the smaller market teams of Kansas City or something, they don't have that depth.
Yeah.
You don't have that problem of like, oh, we have, you know, four guys on the bench that would start if they were, you know, in Kansas City, and they don't, but the Dodgers have that luxury.
Yeah. And I know this is one of my favorite topics toward the end of last year, but I'm looking at a roster projection right now. So on the bench, you got backup catcher, Austin Barnes, you got Matt Beatty. If Lux is the second baseman, Muncy is the first baseman, that leaves Kike and Chris Taylor on the bench, along with Jock Peterson. So, and Edwin Rios is probably the odd man out still in the minors, unless they expand those rosters. So, looks a lot like last year. Dodgers are primed for a really good season, guys. Their pitching staff, they basically named Alex Wood and Julio Urias as their 4 and 5 before the pandemic struck, which puts Ross Stripling in the bullpen. I am anxious to see Julio Urias convert to a starter. In my humble opinion, he has not lived up to the hype. There's been a few games where he came through in short relief, no doubt about that. The times he started where I've been like, man, this is the time he's going to flip that switch and become the guy. It just hasn't happened to date. So I'm hoping he can do that.
He's young. He's still young. I mean, I think people forget he's a young kid.
He was born in 1996. What does that make him, in August? So he'll be 23 or 24 this year.
I mean, I broke into the big leagues 23, 24. And this guy's got, you know, 2 or 3 years under his belt. So there's still time for him to develop and kind of find that niche and see how he's going to fit into the rotation or the bullpen. But, you know, they bring up guys so young now because there's so much money involved and they want to get value out of their players. You know, and sometimes it takes a while for these guys to kind of find their niche and get comfortable. So, yeah, it'll be an interesting year for me. And it's all going to be really strange because it's going to be a short year. You know, some guys, I was a horrible first half pitcher. you know? So it my first halves were horrendous usually. And then my second halves were out of this world. So with half the games maybe being gone, it's going to be interesting to see how people really, really get going.
You know, I didn't realize until just now, I'm looking at the roster online, but the if you read the scuttlebutt that Doc and the brass were spinning in spring training before the pandemic and the shutdown, Dustin May's a starter. Therefore, he likely was heading for the farm, and Gonsolin, they're more open to using him as a reliever. So they were hinting that Gonsolin will be coming with the team in the bullpen, but May is going to go get a few starts and be ready to step in when somebody goes down. The roster expansion may be the best thing that happened to May at the beginning of the year. Just to keep them in the big leagues. We'll have to wait and see. But hey, I got to ask you, have you seen these pictures of Ardolis Chapman online? He looks like a bodybuilder. Have you seen that? You got to look it up. It's crazy.
No, I haven't. But I was in spring training with him a few years back with Cincinnati. And that guy is an animal.
So he already looked like that.
He
looked like a tight end.
No, he was an animal. It was like, I was shocked. You know, cause you know, sometimes guys in their uniforms, you know, it's not like basketball where it's like, you know, you see their arms, you see how they're built. You know, the baseball uniform can be deceiving in a good way and a bad way. You know, some of the guys that aren't in super great shape, you can hide that in a uniform. But guys like that are that like ripped and chiseled, sometimes you don't know that. But I saw him working out and doing, I'm like, dude, this guy is jacked.
Yeah,
I mean, jacked.
You gotta see this picture he posted on his Twitter the other day. It's ridiculous. So hey, last thing I have, I don't know if you are connected to Tom Wilson. We've talked about him on the show before. Played for the Blue Jays, Dodgers catcher, minor league guy, came up with the Yankees. My brother, but great guy from Fullerton, California. He and I are friends on Facebook, and he did a quarantine, you know, all these crazy quarantine. Hey, put your favorite picture. He said, do your favorite baseball picture, and you never, everybody's big leaguer. So there's all these great comments going back and forth on his Facebook post about one picture from baseball. And he wasn't talking to necessarily just his buddies he played with. He was talking to everybody, you know, little league, you know, fans, women, whatever, like, you know, if you're a kid. So it was a fun thing, and I got to learn a lot about the guys he played with and some of the pictures. And you know, there's a lot of guys showing them swinging a bat, and I'm going, hey, did you hit this one go out? Like, tell us what happened, because you're not allowed to talk about it. So having some fun on social media to pass the time. So Brett, you got anything else you want to talk about before we sign off?
No, I think the main thing is getting back to what we talked about a little bit earlier, is just stay safe. You know, there's a lot of, like I said, doctors and nurses that are out there fighting for us and on the front line, putting their lives at risk for us to be safe. And we need to be thankful for them. And like you said, no political agenda, just, you know, have compassion for people. You know, there's a lot of people scared out there, and there's a lot of people that are suffering with either financially or physically, and just, you know, just put your nose down, do what you're supposed to do, what's recommended. Stay home as much as you can, wash your hands, and do the stuff we need to, so we can get back to what we were doing before and, you know, keeping our family safe and hopefully seeing a little bit of baseball and other sports. It's been really hard not to see any sports, basketball, crazy, everything like that. So really want to get that back. So people need to do their part.
Hey, and folks, let me say one more thing too about that. I've observed this, you know, when somebody dies or passes away, you there's kind of that, the steps of acceptance. I've viewed that actually happening with coronavirus, where at first you're freaked out that you might get it and die. And then you realize a lot of people have it. And then you realize that, you know, 98% of the people that are passing away already were sick or have a comorbidity. The sooner you understand this, the better you'll be prepared to manage this process. One of your neighbors has it or already had it. One in every four houses has already had it, and you may or may not have known it because the cases are so mild. I have three relatives who are certain they had it in January, and the doctors confirmed, yeah, you probably did. I've referred five people to the doctor, and on three or four of them, he has said, I'm pretty sure you have it, but you do not need to go get tested. You're under 40. Your symptoms are mild. Just stay home, drink water. And here's the one tidbit I can give you. You take Tylenol, not Advil, because there's something in the ibuprofen. It doesn't mix well with it. I'm not a doctor, so that's all I can give you on that. But guys, we're all going to get it in the next three, four, 5 years. We're all going to get it. So the sooner you can realize that, take a deep breath and just say, stay home. The virus doesn't spread itself. We spread it. The more you'll be able to understand, we're all in this together. The president pushed the deadline out from mid-April to the end of April. So I think we could plan and level set and just come to terms with that. That in many cases, people would say is a little bit too long, but that's good. because there's still going to be cases out there, but we should have turned the corner by then. The number will be coming down and society will be a lot more manageable. So, hey, thanks so much to our sponsors. I guess, guys, I actually signed up for betonline.ag during this show. It was really easy. It took me about 2 minutes. I saw that they take cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, or cash, debit cards, credit cards. So check it out. Brett, you want to give one more shout out to our other sponsor real quick?
Yeah, it's sorry.
We both clearing our throats.
Yeah, no, it's, I was thinking about what you were saying about the whole virus. I love your update. It's nice though. It's nice when you know somebody and you know, you can get perspective and information and really take it to heart. So, you know, like
yeah, play online poker to pass the time.
Yeah, right. And while you're at it, wear True Classic Tees and get those from trueclassictees.com and use the code BLEAV at checkout for 20% off.
We're the Dugout Dudes, formerly the Dodger Dudes, on the Believe Podcast Network at BLEAV.com. I'm Josh Luke with Brett Tomko. Thanks for joining us, guys. Hey, Brett, thanks for all that insight.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Stay safe.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.